Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. Now, if you listen to my show, on occasion, I have stated that I'm concerned about middle-class Canadians' financial well-being. Living, investing, death, and taxes, all part of life. That's what my dad used to say. As a child, growing up in a small town or in a city, maybe that meant nothing. But as a middle-class, middle-aged Canadian, it means everything. If you were part of the sandwich generation, kids on one side, elderly parents on the other, knowing something about investments, your money, death, and taxes is a good thing. Unfortunately, we don't always take the time to get our house in order. My wife and I were talking about that just the other day. We were talking about when her dad passed away, and that would be my father-in-law. And for her mother, got her financial backing, our financial house in order after he passed away. When I look at the financial side of the equation, I wonder about my house, my financial house. Do I have it in order? This year, my dad turns 95 years of age. And over the course of his life, I'm sure he watched his money, he watched his family grow and his money come and go. Now, another family member actually has to manage everything for him. This is not always an easy task to do. And sometimes you may not be too sure what to do. You have all the right things in order, but maybe it's more complex than what you think. So that's what you got to take a look at it. You got to start to look at things from a different perspective. You have to come to a point where you have your house, your car, the cottage, and all the things that you have, your interesting toys, investments. But like most people, there is a commonality. There's something that you got to take care of. And what is that? That's time. You don't have the time to actually take care of it. So you procrastinate on getting your financial house in order. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk a bit about getting your financial house in order, a bit about death and taxes. I know topics that nobody likes to talk about, not even I, but you know what? We have to do it. And we're going to do this basically with a buddy of mine, a friend, a business associate, somebody I've gotten known, Tom Aldridge, and his associate, Robert. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. It's always fun to have you here. Robert, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm looking forward to today's session.
You know what, Robert? I have to apologize for something. As I was reading through my script, I realized your last name was not on this page. So what is your last name?
Robert Dupuy.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I started off in the investment world working with Revenue Canada. I spent 10 years over there until I made a move to the financial services industry 20 years ago. So I've got a lot of experience working with taxes, certainly with death and taxes. So today's topic is going to fall right into that key there.
I mean this in a very nice way. I'm wondering if you're like the undertaker where people are thinking, I don't really want to talk to this guy, but I have to.
Almost. You know what? We're trying to get more and more people to realize that the small things they do today makes quite a difference at death and certainly for their family.
For their future overall. Before we go a little bit further, tell us a little bit about yourself personally. Are you from Manitoba? Like, where are you from?
Well, small town, French-Canadian, small town, southern Manitoba, St. Jean Baptist, for those of us out there that understand where that is. But grew up mostly in St. Boniface, went to a French school and graduated way back now. I don't want to tell you the year. probably similar to yours.
Oh, thanks a lot.
But anyways, after that, of course, I went through the university and different jobs and whatnot, working in finances throughout. So that's pretty much wraps it up. I ended up quite by accident falling into this after working with the government for 10 years. Companies that were out there looking for that experience, looking for the tax saving strategies.
And so you've been able to leverage that and to help out your clients.
Yes.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. I know that's a yes or no answer, but we'll get further into that one. Tom Aldridge. Tom, welcome back, obviously.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. Yeah, it is a timely subject, and for those from the previous shows that we've done, we built a practice as well, making sure that we're continuing the full planning process. And one of the things it is, as you said, death and taxes. It's a difficult subject to get over, and people just put it aside. They keep pushing it aside, and yet it can be on top of investment returns, which a lot of people will tell us from time to time. time. You know, well, my broker's done this, or my advisor's done this, or, you know, I'm doing this on my own. Here are my rates of return. And that's fantastic. You know, of course, that's one of the goals of a proper plan and moving forward and with yourself financially. Except we're missing one key part of that equation, which is the end, right? And how do you unwind it? And what are the consequences of doing it without having any planning? And that's really what's becoming very, very evident with these boomers, which, you know, of course, yourselves included, their parents are dying. Yeah. And it is a big subject right now.
Yeah, I'm actually part of the Generation X, but I'm a cusper. Yeah. And so I look at it from that perspective, but still, we're not quite the baby boomers, we're not quite Generation X, but yet we're sandwiched right in between. And we sometimes have like four or five generations to deal with. It's the very strange age to be at. I mean, I don't know if you've experienced that with some of your clients, but it does exist.
Well, it certainly exists. I think the most interesting thing is we tell our clients, save, 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 RRSPs, different savings plans, and so on. But taking money out of these plans becomes very important. Bringing yourself up to the tax bracket. So that becomes important as we go forward.
So we can probably talk about that a little bit more, because there's lots of investment vehicles you can get into when you're starting to talk about these types of things. Maybe we should start here. You hear the word estate plan all over the place. And so rather than talk about death and taxes, let's just maybe first of all talk about estate planning overall, and really, what is the concept or ideas around estate planning?
Yeah, you know, and actually, that's a great comment as well. The estate plan. So it's an overarching, I guess, idea that would encompass a number of different things. And so most people would make the assumption an estate plan is a will. And that really, in essence, is what we're talking about, is where is it in writing our final wishes, either ourselves or for our spouses? What is the final wishes? And that's not only things like health directive and living wills, but on top of that, what do we want to have happen to our stuff? And I mean, stuff can be a lot of different things. It can be things like their, you know, investment accounts, but maybe it's dad's hockey jacket. In my case, that's one of the things that I hold a lot of value to. And we've actually put that into the will, is that this particular jacket is something that could be a point of contention. But, what I really like to talk about when we talk about estate planning is, let's just take a step back. You know, let's talk about, you know, how to get that going. How did they get that conversation going? Because if you don't have the whole family involved, it may seem difficult. It may seem hard. But, you know, can we look at having them all in one room to start making those decisions?
So what we'll do, I think that's a great point, and we can come back and talk about that after a short break. This is Rich Lamb for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Robert and Tom from the Investor Group, and I just thought it would be timely to come in and talk a little bit about financial planning again, and particularly in this case here, estates and death and taxes and all sorts of stuff. Not a topic that I'm particularly fond of, but I know it's a necessary evil. Well, you know, it's like one of those conversations that you have to have. Tom, just before the break, we were talking about estate planning, and you mentioned it was one of those things that you should get everybody involved in. Could you expand on that a little bit further? Because I think sometimes it's probably something that somebody sort of says, I got to go do this by myself, right?
Yeah, and I think that's where the procrastination versus inertia. And so what you have is the procrastination is bothering you. It's something that you know you should do. You wake up in the morning, I should do this, you know, later on the day, God, I really got to get that done, or maybe it's on that list of things to do. And one of the jobs that Robert and I have in specific, because it's the area that we specialize in, is creating that that inertia to get away from the procrastination and into the inertia movement. So moving forward and getting this done. So how do we do that, right? We can't just give you a piece of paper and say, here's how a will should look. We definitely have to have an opportunity to have, you know, a conversation. And so what I'll do is I'll pass it to Robert, and then maybe he can explain a little bit about his process.
Yeah, well, first of all, I got a question on that one, though. You would say we have a conversation. I'm curious about stepping back, and maybe, Robert, this is how you answer it. Like, who should be involved in that conversation?
Well, exactly. What I normally do is have my client bring in their existing will, and we look at who the executors are. That's a good starting point to see whether or not we want to have them participate. Executors, sometimes one child or two children, depending on the family dynamics. But certainly what we do is we get the wills out. We look at who's going to be the beneficiary of the estate, and we make sure that their investments align with what the will is saying. So often what we find is after reading the will, we realize that their money is not really going to be going to the chosen beneficiaries.
Okay, so then what do you do about that?
Well, that's when we... right away, we'll start writing on their copy of their will and say, okay, we got to change this or that, or now your children have now grown up, or your brother you're no longer speaking to, and so on.
So you have the, what I hear you saying is that you got to take into consideration all the different life changes that are going on at any point in time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, what we find is these wills were made, many moons ago. And you had said, things have changed. Relationships have changed. Maybe people's capacity to execute. If you're being an executor is quite a job. And these days, it actually comes with some legal liability in some senses. And they may not be capable either because they don't understand it or because it's just too complicated with the way that things have gone with our tax codes, our tax code in Canada. So, I mean, you want to take a look at it, and maybe have you even reminded them that they are the executor? Maybe they've forgotten that, or maybe that relationship is disintegrated. So that's, like Robert said, that's a really good start. Nine times out of ten, though, is that people don't even have that existing will to start with. So, we ask them.
That's pretty amazing. That's 90%. So for every, only one person in 10 have an existing will.
And I'll make sure we get that understood and updated and existing will.
Okay. No, that's a pretty significant.
And I guess, sorry, but it depends who you're working with, obviously. I'm working with the seniors market, most of them have a will. We just need to review it, make sure it's in place. And I recommend reviewing your will once every 5 years.
Once every 5 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Every 5 years, we have them come back in, we read it with them. Do you want this to happen?
Yeah.
And I really like to see alternates as well on there. I mean, your parents might name you as a executor, but perhaps they should name an alternate as well.
Yeah, just in case something happens to the
primary. Something happens to you, you move out of province, there's many, many things that can happen.
Many possibilities.
Yeah, and it's a lot of work. I mean, it's a huge undertaking. And you said it earlier in the start of the show, is that we're the sandwich, we're taking care of kids, we're taking care of grandkids, we have social responsibilities, we got soccer, we got baseball, we got this. And then all of a sudden, there is a death in the family. And you need to spend up to, I would say, anywhere between 50 and 100 hours on, executing the will. I mean, that's what the executor does, is he executes or she executes the wills or final wishes of the person that they're executing on their behalf. So, and it's a lot of work. I mean, it's a difficult task. And some people, they freeze, and then all of a sudden there's other things that are going on. There's an emotional part to it as well. So executing on the will, they know they need to do it. We've shown them how to do it. They just can't break through the emotional barrier of actually then completing
having to do it. Yeah,
sure.
I have a friend of mine whose father passed away, and she's very much an executive type of individual, and she was the executor on the will, and she sat down with the family to execute on the will and had a family meeting, and she said, I was all business. I was like A, B, C, D, let's just go do it. And then suddenly she had to deal with all the emotions of everybody else in the family, and she didn't know what to do, and it was one of those things that we talked about in length in terms of how people will react to things, just depending on the type of person they are. Some people it's all business, and other people it's all personal. You're smiling at each other. There must be something in there.
Well, no, I was just thinking to myself that, so a lot of times the will's written, but one of the things that happen is that let's just take a nuclear family. The mom and dad are still alive, and they've written this will maybe a long time ago. They chose, Susie and Bobby as the executors, brother, sister, equally divided, 50%, everything sort of, and that's it. There's your will. It seems pretty easy. It sounds like it's cut and dried, but it's not. Because since that's happened, a number of things could change with the family.
Well, changing with the family, you've hit it right on the nose there. We've had a lot of blended families now.
Okay.
Second marriages, and what you're seeing here now is that a spouse has children from a different relationship, and how do we handle that? How do you want the investments to align with the will?
Yeah, well, there's a new word. I mean, and I hear every year on the internet that the Webster's has added, these new words that have come up. Emoji, I think, was just recently added to the Webster's dictionary. This one's a disinheritance. Now, I believe it's already in the dictionary, but...
What is disinheritance?
Exactly. So disinheritance is what Robert's talking about. So where you have the nuclear family, mom, dad, two children, and 2.5 dogs. What happens there is that now you've got mom and dad are split, and we still have Bobby and Susie who are from parents A, B, but now you've got parent A has married C and parent D marrying E.
So what we're going to do, like this, so we got a whole bunch of marrying stuff going on here and split families. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about what the outcome is. This is Richard Lamb for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Tom and Robert here. We've been talking about, investments. We're talking about the nuclear family and blended family and stuff, and just the impact of estate planning on that. I think, Tom, just before the break, you left us on a bit of a cliffhanger. So we have this whole blended family. You know, Susie marries Johnny. You know, Johnny divorces Susie, marries Patricia, and then Susie marries Sam, and each group has five kids of their own. So now they're a blended family.
I'm already lost. So what we were talking about, we got, typical family AB, mom, dad, and Bobby and Susie, and then, they've gone and remarried. And so there's just a myriad of different things that could happen. Number one is that then obviously a dissolution of the marriage, you have probably have to get a new will. And what a lot of people do is it may have been forgotten in all of the mess, the wreckage.
Everything's gone on, yeah.
The current will might still be valid. Unfortunately, though, that if one of the parents and remarries, now that now voids the previous will. So now all of a sudden, this new person has two children, and the new person or the existing person then passes away. Then all of a sudden, the assets from that original family, where they thought they were going to go to his original son or daughter, I say he in this case, now are actually going to be split off, and the existing original kids, I call them, will be disinherited.
Yeah. So that's where that word came from.
Yeah, so the intentions were good. He thought or she thought it would go there, but it doesn't. And we see this, as Robert can attest, and we see it all the time.
I think what's important to realize here is that we're there to identify some of the issues with our clients, and we always bring in our legal advice.
That's a good point to actually make, Robert.
You know, I mean, the idea here is that we're there to work with our clients, make sure that their assets are going where they want them to go, but we bring in a lawyer, our legal counterparts, to help us make sure that, sure enough, the wills are in fact valid.
Yeah, actually, and there's actually another good point that Robert made there is that not all lawyers are created equal. That's me. And then so what will happen is that sometimes you have a corporate lawyer, so a good family friend who is a corporate lawyer, who I actually have a great friend who's a corporate lawyer. And, typically maybe that's not their forte is will planning and estate planning. But, you know, they'll do it, sort of on the side.
It's for the family.
Yeah,
right?
It's for the family. Or someone that does your real estate deals and maybe a real estate lawyer, and they're very good at it. What you do want to look for, again, and it goes back to one of our earlier shows about designations and accreditation. So whether you're a CFP or you're an RRC in our business or a CFA, in lawyer speak, you'd want to look for someone who might be a trust and estate practitioner, like a TEP. And, we're fortunate enough to have a TEP on our staff, which we can rely on. So that person is trained specifically on this issue. And always want to make sure we point that out.
You know, that's a really good point, because, I mean, we're always out looking for advice. And you know, who do we ask for advice? We ask our family member. We ask a friend. Right, or the guy who's really knowledgeable in business that we've been doing stuff with for a long time. They're roughly about our same age, right? Or that person. And so we have these conversations, but sometimes we don't always pick up the phone and call the appropriate lawyer. In this case, we're making reference to, right, or the particular advisor. You know, and this is probably a topic where it's one of those big ones, right? There's certain big ones. Like, if you think about it, I'm giving you guys information here. If you think about the big things in your life, like, what were the big things in your life? Getting married, buying your first home, right? Your first kid, yeah. Right? Your kids maybe going off and graduating school, then do you put this into that big thing in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. When we talked about the six disciplines in one of our recent
previously,
shows,
we did one some time
it
ago.
It ends number six, is as we talk about retirement, investment, cash, estate, insurance, and taxation. And taxation is maybe the last in one of our disciplines on the way that we remember or remind ourselves to speak to our clients about it, but it can be one of the most beneficial to you and family to discuss first. And, we in our business, we have, people will ask us, Tom or Robert, how the market's doing, or, how is this doing, or how the investment's doing.
What should I invest in?
What should I invest in? I mean, because it's in our name. It says Investors Group in our name. And a lot of wealth management groups, they call themselves wealth management groups. And yet, sometimes the taxes are one of the most important things. And Robert rely on his expertise and his practice. I'm lucky enough to have him in our office, so when I do have a case.
Yeah, I'm just sort of curious about this, because this is one of the topics that, what do you do about, I'm just going to ask it this way, then you just sort of take it where you want to go, but what do you do about taxes in your estate? Is that the right question to ask, or in your investment plan? Maybe that's the way to go.
Absolutely. What we do is we sit down and we say, if you were run over by a bus today, how much would Revenue Canada get? is Revenue Canada a beneficiary of your estate? I mean, if you got four children and Revenue Canada is getting half of your estate, we've got a problem.
There's
here.
A significant amount.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's plan for that. We can plan early. Some of the important stages of life, retirement is one of them, but death is another. I mean, we can't avoid that one. Death and taxes, we're for sure going to be paying some.
Yeah. So I guess what are some of the things that you look for in an estate to try to have the estate or the beneficiaries of the estate retain the wealth?
One of the main things we look for is there an opportunity today to realize some capital gains or to realize some income at a lower tax rate than waiting for the final tax return? We all like to defer taxes. Defer, defer, defer. If you talk to any accountant out there.
That's what we're told to do. We're told
exactly.
to defer taxes as fast as far as possible using the present financial vehicles that are available to us.
Correct. Now, once you've exhausted those and you've used up your tax-free saving account and so on, you certainly want to bring your clients to the tax bracket. I mentioned it earlier. But there is some merit to paying some taxes today to pay less later.
Okay. Can you give us an example of what that might be?
Yes. You've got, for example, let's say a widow who's now sitting on $400,000 or $500,000 worth of registered money, RRSPs, and
yeah,
so on.
Yeah, might have been turned into RRSPs by now.
Correct.
Yeah.
Upon the passing.
You're shocked at my knowledge, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm very shocked. You're assuming that the individual's over the age of 71, but
yeah,
that's okay.
But you said,
okay.
Yeah, okay, widow. Okay, yeah, fair enough.
That's fine. Widow, some widows are young.
Younger,
I mean,
yeah,
young widows.
Okay, so,
that's
so they're over 71.
So let's say they're over 71 for our example. That's very good, Richard. And what we'll have here, for example, is somebody dies $500,000 worth of registered funds. Clearly, 46% of it will end up in Revenue Canada's hands. So how can we avoid that? Perhaps we had an opportunity earlier to start withdrawing some of those funds at a lower tax rate. So that's some of the things we look at. Also, maybe using an insurance product. I mean, there's different things you can do. So make sure you take the time to do your estate plan. Look at what your will says, look at what your assets are, but for sure take the time to look at if you were to die today, who gets what?
Who gets what? It's interesting that we'd actually use RRSPs as the example because I was just reading on this. I was talking to a bank about this, and they basically suggested that you just put on beneficiaries on your RRSP and then you don't have to pay taxes on the RRSP.
Well, let's talk about that. So $500,000 and you've named your two children beneficiaries on the RRSP.
Yeah.
That's fine. So the bank or the financial institution will write two checks.
For $250,000.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
When you file the final tax return, there's still a tax liability. So if you've left your RRSPs to two children and you've left the house to the third child, well, the third child's going to have to sell the house to pay the taxes.
Okay, so there's basically...
there's some tax issues.
There's still some tax issues. And that's probably one of the things that most people probably don't think about.
No, yeah, and I think really there's a process that we personally will look at is that the process is pressure testing the estate. So we're basically going to, as Robert says, we're basically going to knock you off every 5 years, each of you every 5 years for the next 30 years. And what we're going to do is we're going to calculate, you know, what the net estate would be left over, and, you know, and like Robert had said, you know, it gets ugly because in his particular case, I can speak to firsthand to an example like that where someone was given some advice from a financial institution like giving the name beneficiaries on a RRSP, and it certainly went sideways.
So you know what, we're going to take a short break, and maybe what we'll do, we'll come back and talk about how that went sideways. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Tom, you were giving us a bit of a cliffhanger just before we're going. We were talking a bit about beneficiaries. I think it was on RRSPs and an experience that you were having with a client where there were some thoughts around beneficiary signatures. Did I get that right?
Yeah, very exciting. Yeah, almost like a cliffhanger in a movie. So we had talked just briefly in the past segment about a single widow who had maybe $500,000 in a RRSP, and someone had received a little bit of advice saying, hey, well, why don't you add your two children as beneficiaries and leave the house to your third child? And so that actually happened to a client of mine, and we got there a little bit too late. Unfortunately, we were called after the fire had already started. And so what had happened in this particular case is that $250,000 went to child A, $250,000 went to child B, and child C received a home. And so, you know, people are asking me, what's the problem with that? Except child A lives in Vancouver, and child A is also maybe not not as reliable as some of the other children. And so the check was sent to them, unbeknownst, because no one checked on the will in the first place, and unbeknownst to the other two children that the check was now gone. It's gone. You can't go and ask for it back unless that person decides to send it back. And so child B and C are left here in Winnipeg. Child B has $215 cash, and they're fairly happy. And child C has a house that is worth, you know, $400. So that particular child is happy. Except, as Robert had talked about, is that at your death, you'll have two tax returns. You're going to have one from January 1st up until your very last breath, and that's all the income you earn from January 1 until that last breath. And then once you do die, then you have a secondary tax return, and that one is responsible for any final taxes that are due. Well, in this particular case, on a $500,000 RIF, there would be approximately 46 to 50%, depending on our provincial government at the time, but let's call it 50% tax would be due. So now the estate, or this person who's not around anymore, is responsible for $250,000. Well, the brother and sister who are in Winnipeg looking at each other and with very suspicious eyes, who's going to pay the bill? Because unfortunately, the child in Vancouver, A, is unresponsive. They have 250 grand. They're done.
They're done.
They're not coming back. So messy situation. Had to sell the house, split the proceeds. Money had to switch hands. And now all of a sudden, you've got not only, it's not a disinheritance, but it's an unequal inheritance. See, now you've got an unequal amount of money that was sent. One got 250 and the other two had to split 250. So it could be a wild ride. And so to prevent that, you know, we talk about doing stuff early. And rearranging the deck is how we like to put it.
So just making sure everything is in place so that the, so rearranging the deck, as you actually put it. Sorry, I was getting caught up in that story and I was thinking to myself, how many families do I know that this is happening in?
Many,
in terms of not really having the best advice or not really having the best plan together. So what can we do to, I guess you're always going to answer this question, but what can we do to sort of prevent this type of situation?
Well, I'm not saying to not name your children beneficiaries on registered assets. Just be aware
of the ramifications
of what other assets there are and the ramifications, of course. Now, the tax liability, as we were talking earlier, Tom was mentioning, is actually on the final tax return from January 1st to the date of passing. You're deemed to have sold all your assets and you've got to pay the taxes at that point. Now, in your situation, Tom, you actually have to sell the house in order to get the proceeds to pay Revenue Canada.
Yeah.
And because the named beneficiaries on a RIF, they actually bypass the will. So that's another issue here. You could be leaving somebody out entirely by naming a beneficiary on the will, so or on the RIF, rather. So that's another consideration, very important. Make sure you do your financial physical and have a look. If I died today, what do I pay?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you would say a financial physical because, I mean, it's hard enough to get people to do a medical physical. Can you imagine getting them to do a financial physical?
Well, you know what? I think once you reach the age of 50, you understand what a real physical means. But certainly a financial physical is, anybody can have a financial physical. I don't think there's any magic age, and it doesn't hurt quite as much.
As a medical physical. You're a funny guy, Robert. You're a funny man. Incredible topic. You know, when we're starting to talk about estate plans, we're talking about wills, we're talking about living wills, and I think there was another one you mentioned too. I can't remember which one it was.
Power of attorney.
What is the benefit? Well, we have a little bit of time left. What is the benefit of having a power of attorney?
Yeah, well, I mean, the power of attorney is, again, it's a directive. It's a directive that says this is the person I want to be responsible for my assets, for my finances in the event that I'm unable to. And it isn't in writing. That's important.
Absolutely. I think what I do with the power of attorney is often we have aging parents, and we were talking about the sandwich generation earlier. If you have aging parents, it's important. I actually invite the power of attorneys to come to a meeting, and maybe we're doing the financial physical with them.
Okay, so they're involved in the process because I know in some families they'll name somebody as the executor, they'll name somebody as the financial
power of attorney.
Thank you, but they never show. They don't even know their names are on it. Like they barely know that they actually have this responsibility.
That's very common. Very, very common. We see that. We try to encourage dialogue. We try to encourage the family to work together.
Yeah.
If you've named somebody power of attorney, you trust them. You should be bringing them in the process.
That makes for very interesting. What about out where you have situations where family members are left out, because sometimes one person maybe knows their parents' wishes, but the rest of the family are not.
Extremely common. And that's, again, back to that power of attorney, or, you know, even step back, right back to where at the start of our conversation, where having that family meeting, almost you don't want to let the client, we don't let our clients decide. We want them to tell us what they're looking to do. And then what we're going to do is say, you know, is this person, you know, going to be acting on all the children's behalf, and or should we have more children involved? Because, you know, you're right. Sometimes there is daddy's favorite girl or mom's favorite boy, and you know, sometimes they have ulterior motives, and maybe they have alternatives that may not be exactly what mom and dad wanted. So again, it's us as the third party, or you know, that additional voice, which allows us to, you know, really get down to what mom and dad really want first, and then work backwards to decide who can help execute on that, and then make sure that those people know. And sometimes some people are disinherited, some people on purpose, some people are left out specifically. Let's make sure that they know that right out of the gates, because then you're not going to have a problem later on.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea or thought or advice, or that is that, you know, how do you actually involve people and having them involved in the process? Not saying it's easy, I'm just saying it's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have to ask those difficult questions and sort of drill down, and as a third party, we can ask the questions.
If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
They can get a hold of me at just Googling me at tomaldrich.ca.
And they can get a hold of myself, Robert Dupuis, at robertdupuis at investorsgroup.ca.
How do you spell your last name, Robert?
D-U-P-U-I-S.
Yeah, I was bugging you during the break about your name. Hey, Robert's a good guy about his last name. I had trouble pronouncing it. That's pretty good. I want to take this opportunity to thank both of you for hanging out with me today. It's been awesome. Great information. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
Start planning now.
Start planning now. Robert,
have a physical today.
Have a physical today. Very good. Thank you very much again. Listeners, I really appreciate you tuning in. If you have a question or a thought or an idea about this particular show, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And remember, do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.